Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Mastering the Market Cycle, Getting the Odds on Your Side is a nonfiction investing book by Howard Marks, co-founder and co-chairman of Oaktree Capital Management. It belongs to the business and finance genre and focuses on one central problem in investing: how to recognize market cycles well enough to make better decisions when conditions are changing. Rather than promising exact forecasts, Marx argues that investors should understand where markets stand in relation to sentiment, valuation, credit conditions, and risk tolerance. The book builds on ideas familiar from his memo writing and earlier work, but here they are organized around a cycle-based framework. Its purpose is practical and analytical to help readers think more clearly about booms, busts, and the recurring emotional patterns that shape them. The result is a guide to investing with discipline, patience, and awareness of probabilities rather than certainty. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, markets move in cycles because human behavior repeats. Marx treats market cycles as a recurring feature of finance rather than an exception. His basic argument is that prices, sentiment, and risk appetite do not move in a straight line because investors repeatedly swing between fear and greed. That psychological rhythm helps explain why periods of pessimism, skepticism, optimism, and euphoria tend to appear again and again. The point is not that every cycle unfolds in identical fashion, but that similar forces keep reappearing in different forms. This matters because it prevents investors from mistaking a temporary condition for a permanent one. Markets feel stable near extremes precisely when they are most vulnerable to reversal. By framing cycles as a behavioral phenomenon as much as an economic one, Marx gives readers a way to interpret market conditions without relying on simple forecasts. The emphasis is on recognizing patterns early enough to adjust expectations, not on claiming precise timing ability. That distinction is one of the book's most important contributions. Secondly, the four cycle stages shape opportunity and risk differently. A major organizing idea in the book is the sequence of pessimism, skepticism, optimism, and euphoria. Marx uses these stages to show that the same market can offer very different risk-reward profiles, depending on where it sits in the cycle. In pessimism, prices are often depressed, expectations are low, and opportunities are most attractive because assets may be priced below their long-term potential. Skepticism follows as conditions improve but confidence remains incomplete, which can still offer selective opportunities. In optimism, favorable conditions and easy access to capital can support rising prices, but they also increase the danger of complacency and excess. Euphoria is the most dangerous stage because valuation discipline weakens and investors assume good times will continue indefinitely. The practical lesson is that investors should not evaluate markets only by recent performance. Instead, they should ask whether current conditions already reflect too much good news or too much fear. This cycle map gives the reader a framework for understanding why the same asset can be cheap at one moment and risky at another. Thirdly, second-level thinking means asking what is already priced in. Marx repeatedly pushes readers beyond first-level reactions. First-level thinking often asks whether a company, economy, or market condition looks good or bad on the surface. Second-level thinking asks what the market already expects, what price has been paid, and whether the consensus view is too optimistic or too pessimistic. This is one of the book's most useful ideas because it reframes investing as a question of relative expectation rather than simple judgment. A great business can still be a poor investment if it is priced for perfection, while a troubled asset can become attractive if the market has overreacted. The discipline required here is intellectual humility. Investors must resist the urge to equate a correct opinion with a profitable decision. Marx is not arguing for clever contrarianism for its own sake. He is arguing that investment returns depend on the gap between price and reality, and that gap can only be understood by considering market expectations. This is why his approach is more analytical than predictive, and why it remains relevant across asset classes. Fourthly, risk is not constant and must be calibrated to the cycle. Another central theme is that risk changes with market context. Marx rejects the idea that risk can be measured only from a company's fundamentals or from a fixed formula. In his view, the same asset can be relatively safe in one environment and dangerous in another, because prices, leverage, liquidity, and sentiment all affect outcomes. When markets are exuberant, investors may pay too much for growth, accept too much debt, and ignore weak business models. When markets are distressed, even ordinary assets can become attractive, because pessimism has driven prices too far down. This is why he calls for risk calibration rather than mechanical rules. Investors need to judge how much protection is built into the price and how much vulnerability is hidden in the environment. That means paying attention to credit availability, investor behavior, and valuation discipline. The book's risk framework is especially valuable because it shows that avoiding loss is not just about selecting strong assets. It is about recognizing when the market itself is creating fragility. In that sense, risk is cyclical, not static. Lastly, patient contrarianism works better than prediction. Marx does not present investing as a game of precise forecasts. Instead, he argues for disciplined patience and selective contrarian action when the odds become favorable. This means waiting for periods when fear, pessimism, or forced selling has improved the relationship between price and value, then acting with restraint rather than urgency. He also warns against one of the most common investor mistakes, selling after declines and locking in temporary losses just before a cyclical recovery. The book therefore combines contrarian instinct with caution, because being different from the crowd is not enough unless the price is right. Marx also stresses humility, since no one can reliably call exact tops or bottoms. The better goal is to improve probabilities by aligning decisions with where the cycle stands. This practical attitude makes the book distinct from more formulaic market timing guides. It encourages readers to be patient, selective, and emotionally stable, especially when the crowd is most confident or most afraid. That combination of restraint and awareness is the book's core investing ethic. In conclusion, this book is best suited for investors, finance students, portfolio managers, and general readers who want to understand why markets behave the way they do across booms and busts. It is especially useful for people who already know basic valuation concepts but want a deeper framework for thinking about sentiment, timing, and risk. The practical benefit is not a mechanical trading system. It is a better way to judge probabilities, resist crowd psychology, and avoid the costly mistakes that often occur at market extremes. Readers can use its ideas to improve capital allocation, position sizing, and patience, even if they never try to forecast exact turning points. What makes it stand out from many investing books is its combination of clarity, restraint, and cycle awareness. Marx does not promise certainty, nor does he rely on flashy quantitative models. Instead, he explains how the interaction of valuation, psychology, liquidity, and expectations shapes outcomes. That balanced perspective gives the book enduring value in a category where many titles either oversimplify markets or overstate predictive power. It is a serious, practical guide to thinking better about risk and opportunity. If you would like to support Howard Marx, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.